Well, good morning. Let me visit with you all just a minute. I'm waiting for one of those 5-mile drives, you know, for fluffy people, you know. I will say this, and I will add kudos to the supportive hospice. If you have ever had to use them, you'll know how what a blessing that ministry is. If you never have, just thank God for it. And support those that will be in the future. Well, what a beautiful building that you all have here, and great location. And thank you for allowing me to come and being part of this camp meeting, and just to get to fellowship with Brother Sonny, Sister Julie, their kids, Sonny Jr. and Heather, and just all of you. Thank you for being in God's house. I'm thankful for Brother Darnell. I was in the fellowship hall earlier this morning, just kind of praying and going through my stuff a little bit, and I get nervous before I come. I'm nervous this morning, and so I get nervous, and they brought in all sorts of foods. So when I get nervous, I get hungry. So I want to thank you for the potato chips and ice cream that you brought over there. I don't know, was that for me? That one? Yeah. And when you go by the table, make sure, you know, when you're supposed to get that picture of JB and Barbara, do remind him, because JB can forget some things. Yeah. Yesterday morning, he told us, now we're going to sleep in. Brian, you shower first. We've turned on the hot water and it'll be all right. I got in there and there was no hot water whatsoever. I was saying something a little bit later about that. There wasn't any hot water. And Sister Barb said, well, why didn't you holler? I said, I did. Oh, my. But it is fun. It's been good traveling with JB and Barbara. I like to hang around old men and young ladies. So that's what I'm kidding. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. It is a blessing again to be down here. Last night I was out walking around the grounds and just seeing it. And unfortunately, I think I got about too close to the pastor's parsonage, because I heard them hollering. And I heard Brother Sonny saying, you know, how could anyone so beautiful be so dumb? And Julie said, well, God made me beautiful so you would marry me, and made me dumb so I would marry you. That's for turning the lights out on me last night. He knew that was coming. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. Can we stand for the reading of God's Word? Mark chapter number 10. We're going to read just a few verses. Verse number 46. Through the balance of the chapter. Bible says, and they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, and thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And let's pray. Father of heaven, thank you again for allowing us to meet together this morning. Lord, I don't believe it's by chance that anyone is here. I believe, Father, Lord, it's by your providence and your allowance. Lord, it's good to be able to see the Berries and fellowship with them. And Lord, we look forward to hearing good reports upon what's going to happen this evening. Lord, thank you for all the songs and all the choir has done. And Lord, that just the sweet fellowship and the welcome we receive from this congregation. Now we pray that you'd minister in time of your word. I pray that you'd do that for us, what nobody else can do. Lord, anoint and give give your messenger, Lord, just what I need to be able to deliver your message. We ask this in Christ's name for His glory. And amen and amen. You can be seated. In this gate in Jericho, we see two men. One man wrapped up in an old heavy garment, hopefully looking for pennies, but yet about to receive an incredible miracle. The other man is Jesus, who's wrapped up in a robe of humanity, who should be hailed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He's about ready to receive a cross and a crown of thorns and some nails when He leaves Jericho. And He's going to do all that, not because He's been bad, but because we've been bad, and He is so good. But the passage of Scripture lets us know that this man will not keep himself quiet. When he understands that it's Jesus, he begins to cry out. And the Scripture also lets us know, and the book of Luke describes it and says, he not only follows Jesus, by the way, but he glorifies Him. I'm telling you what, when you know Jesus, it'll make you want to say something. Amen? I'm telling you, if you know the Savior, every now and then, listen, those glory hallelujah goosebumps will get on you, and you just got a case of I can't help it. Praise the Lord. Listen, I just want to say this. When I look at this passage of Scripture, 2,000 years later, the crowd of this world has not changed. They still want us to keep quiet about Jesus. We have some folks that go to our church, and essentially one lady that sings with Becky, and she sings with her brothers, the Blanton family, and they were singing at the Amish flea market some time back, and they sing bluegrass gospel, and as they were singing, there was a tour bus that came to the Amish flea market, and this group of godly black folk come off of the bus, and some went on by, and some stopped and was listening to the music, and as the gospel music was being sung, and instruments being played, one of the dear black ladies, she started getting blessed. And when she started getting blessed, she just let people know that she started being blessed. And one of the long-nosed vendors, a lady over here watching the whole ordeal, said, I don't think that somebody should put on that kind of display in public. Hey, listen, you know why she felt that way? Because she had never met the one that black lady had met. Amen. Hey, because once you meet Him, once you meet the Son of the living God, I'm telling you, you want to save something. And friend, I want to preach this morning upon the subject of why we cannot keep quiet. Because let me just say this, worship is not something that's displayed for earth. Worship is something that's conveyed for heaven. Amen. Hey, thank God for people that have blessed my heart. But I want you to know, when I worship, it's not about who's watching me. It's about what I want to convey to my Lord and Savior. Hey, this world may think they don't need us to speak up. This world may think they don't need our song. And this world may think they don't need our testimony. But friend, if there's ever been a time the world needs to hear the church not keep quiet, it is today. We need to stand up for Him. A few things I'd like to point out in this passage of Scripture, if you still have your Bibles open, look if you would at verse number 46, because I want us to notice here, blind Bartimaeus, how he could not keep quiet. First thing I want us to notice is it was grace that brought the Savior by that day. Hey, it was grace that brought the Savior. Now, why did Jesus pass through Jericho? And I don't know everything about all the gates of Jericho, but I do know this, that He went out there gate where blind Bartimaeus was sitting. How is it that he happened to be passing through that particular day? Hey, how is it that Jesus Christ came down to earth? I'll tell you, the same appointment that is right there for him at Jericho is the same reason that he came to earth. And the reason of it is G-R-A-C-E. It's all about grace. Hey, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Praise God. Hey, how many here is glad for God's grace? Amen. Thank God for Him. See, grace had set Bartimaeus where he was. He didn't just happen to be at that particular spot. It wasn't just at that particular time. But friends, it was grace. Hey, anything could have kept him from it. But I'm telling you what, he had an appointment with destiny, and grace was the administrator who set up the appointment. Hey, thank God for it. And friends, let me just say this. Hey, I want you to thank
think about this. You are here this morning in a good gospel believing and preaching church. Hey, and I want you to know that God allowed that to happen. You were raised where you were raised because God allowed that to happen. God allowed you to be in a church where you could hear the gospel. And I'm just about sick and tired of people, especially Christians, that say these things to me. Boy, aren't we lucky to be born in America? Aren't we lucky to have somewhat stability of the economy and government that we have today? Aren't we lucky to be able to have enough food and all those things? Friend, let me just say this. Listen, I want you to know this, that luck did not wake you up this morning in your right mind. Luck did not dress you, and luck did not feed you. Hey, can I go a little bit further and just say that luck, Brother Joe, did not go to Calvary's cross, and luck, my friend, didn't lay in a grave, and luck didn't raise 3 days later, and luck didn't save you when you caught up on it, and luck isn't keeping you, and luck ain't coming back for you, but it's our gracious Lord and Savior. That's who did it. And thank God, because He did. I'm telling you, grace brought the Savior, and grace had set blind Bartimaeus exactly where he was. But look a little bit further. Not only do I see that grace set him where he was, but grace had kept him through the years. Something when I was studying this I'd never seen before. Look at verse number 50. But the Bible says, "And he casting away his garment." Now I want to ask you a question. You help me out. Had Bartimaeus met Jesus yet? Had he met him yet? He hadn't met him yet. Shake your heads this way. It helps me. All right, good. He had not met him. But let me ask you, did he have a garment wrapped around him? Had he met him yet? No. But had he starved to death yet? No, he had not. Had he met him? No, he hadn't, preacher. But had a disease taken him from this life? No, it hadn't. What's your point? I'm saying this. A blind Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus, and Jesus is coming to him, and he's excited because he thanks Brother Jacob. I'm about to be in contact with Jesus for the very first time. But friend, can I say, all down through this man's life, Jesus, while he had never met Jesus, Jesus had already met him and knew who he was and had been watching out after him. He didn't get that garment around him because God had been bad. He got that garment around him because before he ever knew who Jesus was, Jesus knew who he was. Now I want to ask us this morning, was he good to you before you ever met him? Hey, I thank God for the good job you may have this morning. And I thank God for the pretty clothes that you dressed up in today. But I'm telling you, somebody was feeding you before you ever met him. Hey, and somebody started dressing you up. And I would just say this. Hey, he gave us money that we used for drugs and alcohol before we ever knew him. And we abused what he gave us. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what. He gave us oxygen and we used it to curse his name. But oh, how good that he's been. I'm telling you what. He kept you from car wrecks even before you knew it. And maybe some of y'all was in war and battle. And listen, you didn't know the Savior, but he had his hand upon you. He wasn't waiting to be good to you when you came to him. He's always been good to you and I. Thank God for a Savior. That's why Paul writes in Romans and he tells us the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. There's not a day in which he started being good. He's always been good to you and I. And thank God for a Savior. Hey, grace kept him throughout the years. And thirdly, grace had given him the knowledge of Christ. In verse number 47, it said, when he heard that it was Jesus, Jesus passing by. Jesus of Nazareth. Who is it? It's Jesus. The Bible said he began to cry out. Notice two things that he called him. He calls him the Son of David, acknowledging that he's the Messiah. But secondly, a little bit further down, when Jesus says, what would you have me to do? He says, Lord. And he calls him Rabboni. He calls him my master. Now you say, what is it that you're talking about? I want you to notice this. Grace gave him the knowledge who Jesus was. He could have said, who is that? They could have said, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, okay, I've heard about that. And just went on his way. Hey, friend, I'm saying, saying this, that somehow or another, God revealed to him exactly, Brother Sonny, who that Jesus was. You remember the great confession when Jesus says, whom do men say that I am? And the disciples said, some say thou art Jonah. Some say thou art Elijah, John the Baptist raised from the dead. He said, but whom do thee say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he said, you've done well to say that. But then he went on to say this. He said, my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it unto you, brothers and sisters, this morning. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I'd be sitting in Kingdom Hall this morning, or a Mormon temple somewhere, or praying to Mary, or saying somebody that's already dead. I'm telling you, thank God, you can know that you know him because he's revealed himself by his grace. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. I hear pages rattling. I like to hear that. That means you're not fell asleep yet. Amen. Verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 3. He says, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus a curse. In other words, you can't have a Spirit of God in you and say that Jesus is a curse. But he goes on and says the other side of that coin is that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by or without the Holy Ghost. Hey, I'm telling you what, the reason you and I can stand up in church this morning and we can sing about his grace is because his grace has revealed exactly who Jesus Christ is this morning. Hey, I heard a story about a Baptist convention, or it's actually a Baptist seminary in Chicago. And once a year, they would always bring the Baptist preachers in for a luncheon, and they would get a speaker up there, and they brought them in because they was taking all their Baptist money, so they wanted to bring them all in, and so they would give them a bag lunch, and they would bring in a speaker, and this speaker would talk to all the Baptist preachers there, and then they would go on their way. Well, one particular time in which they did this, all of them had their little sack lunches, and they had a man named Dr. Tillich, and Dr. Tillich spoke that day upon the truths of the resurrection. And he went on to disclaim every spiritual truth that we understand from the Bible. That Jesus didn't literally get up from the dead. That there was no stone rolled away. That it was a spiritual thing. And significance of how that you should live your life and so on and so forth. And when they got all done, the moderator said, now are there any questions before we allow Dr. Tillich to leave? One old black preacher stood up in the back. And he said, he took out his... last thing he had in his bag was his apple. And he said, Dr. Tillich, he takes a bite of his apple. He said, I want to ask you a question this morning, sir, if I could. And he takes another bite out of his apple. And he says, the apple in which I am eating this morning, is it sweet or is it bitter? Dr. Tillich stands up on stage and said, sir, I've never tasted your apple. How could I know whether it's sweet or whether it's bitter? The old man dropped his apple in the bag, crunched his bag up and said, neither, sir, have you ever tasted my Jesus. And friend, I'll tell you what, once you've tasted him, you'll know who he is. And you never want to deny it, that, hey, he was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died a vicarious death. They put him in a tomb. He rose from the grave. He's coming back again, and it'll save anybody that'll come to him. That's why grace brought the Savior that day. Thank God for grace. Hey, I'm telling you, not only did grace bring the Savior, but then it was grief that brought the cries from this man. Notice, if you would, at verse number 46 again. Hey, he was grieved because he was blind. At verse number 46, the Bible said that he sat by the highway side of Pagan. There he is, blind Bartimaeus. Hey, I want you to know they didn't call him blind Bartimaeus because he had 20/20 vision. He couldn't see. He was limited in his ability. He was burdened by his situation. And friend, let me just say this, and before Christ comes, he could do nothing. Friend, let me just say, in his limited ability and all that he has, it kind of reminds me of Romans 3 and verse number 10, that as it is written, none of us are righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand it. Hey friend, I'm telling you, as much as he was limited from what he could do, so were you and I before we came to know him. We could not see. We were blind. And friend, I'm telling you what, he was in a grieving situation, but he was grieved because he was blind. But he was grieved because he was begging. I've never had a whole lot in life, but Brother Sonny, I've never had to beg. I've not had riches that people would want to. Matter of fact, we live in a day and age where people are always stealing identity. I tell folks, if you steal my identity, you're going to go in debt. You're going to want to give it back to me. Can I get a witness? Anybody else here that way? But I'm telling you what, he's grieved because he's begging. See, he's not only limited in his ability, but now I see that he's limited financially and socially. He is an outcast. He is not welcome with everybody else. And friend, can I say, there was a time when you and I were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Our righteousness, the scripture says, was as filthy rags that would be hanging. And friend, can I say, that's exactly where we are. And his condition calls him to cry out. Hey friend, I want to ask you, if you are unsaved this morning, how much is it going to take before you cry out to him? Man one day was calling for his dog. And he called for his dog and said, "Here, boy." And his dog would not come. And he kind of scolded the dog and hollered at him with a deeper voice and said, "Come here, dog." And the dog would not come. So he found a pretty good-sized stick and he threw it. The dog went and got the stick and brought it to the master. And the moral of the story is it took a burden before he ever came to the master. Hey friend, I'm telling you what, this morning, you hear him knocking upon your heart's door. You hear him speaking to you. You know that he's been good to you. You know that God has blessed you. I'm telling you, don't let him make another burden in your life before. And I will tell you this, a good old boy from West Virginia told me, and I believe it's true, said he told me once, he said, you know, he'll find you in the storm or he'll find you in the sanctuary. But bless God, he'll find you. And I found it to be true. Hey friend, how much more does he have to weigh you down before you get sick enough to cry out to him? This man was blind. This man was a beggar. And he says, I can't stand it anymore. I must cry out to him. And he cried out. He's grieved because he's blind and grieved because he's beggar. But he's grieved because he's being bullied by the crowd. Notice verse 47. The Bible says, when he heard that it was Jesus, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. But he charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. I'm telling you what, the only thing he could do, and I want you to think about this, the only thing this blind man could do was to cry out to God, and they wanted to stop him from doing that. And it's more important than he cry out than for him to shut up. Hey, let me bring that to you and I. What are the weapons of our warfare? I mean, what is it we're allowed to do if we're rebuked for our faith, and we are persecuted for being a Christian, and if somebody would get to the place where they would even smite you in your cheek, what are we supposed to do as believers? Help me out. Turn the other cheek. We're not to go to war as far as, and I'm not talking about wars, but we're not to physically take things in our own hand. The wrath of God, or the wrath of man, worketh not the righteousness of God. James tells us that. You know, the only thing that we can do in this life that has power to make a difference is that we can pray. And get this, the world now says, stop doing that. Yes, how many in here remember when you could bow your head in a public school? How many remember those days? Isn't it amazing? Do you think that the devil knew exactly that the greatest weapon that the Christians had was prayer, and let's try to dissolve it from every place in the public arena we possibly can, and not just in schools? Now when the Senate and now when the House begins to pray, when they bring somebody in that's bold enough to actually end their prayer in the precious name of Jesus, the people, they start getting all hair-lipped over it, and they say, how dare you to mention the name of Jesus? What about the Muslims that could be in here? And what about the atheists? And what about the infidel? Hey, this country wasn't settled by Muslims. And this country wasn't settled by infidel. It was settled by a believer that believed in the name of Jesus Christ. And so the only thing we can do, friend, is cry out, and they want us to stop that. But hey, it's more important to pray in, for students to pray in school than to appease the 4% that it offends. Amen. Hey, it's more important that we promote the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven, and He is, than to hold hands with a religious crowd and to just say, you take your road, I'll take my road, we'll all meet in heaven. Friend, there's a Greek word for that, and it's called baloney. And by the way, God's name is not Allah, and it's not Buddha, and it's not Moloch, and it's not Baal. It's Jesus Christ, and God hath highly exalted Him and given a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Even someday Muhammad will bow right before it, before He is judged. Hey, it's more important than we preach the truths of His Word than to tiptoe around sin, to make the godless and the politically correct and the seeker-sensitive crowd happy. It's so important that we stand and we speak up where we always... Hey, I haven't been here very long, but knowing your pastor and knowing the kind of folks that he associates with, this good church, this community needs this church, but this community does not need you to be zipper mouth. They need you to open your mouth. You go to a restaurant somewhere, go ahead and bow your head. And you don't have to pray out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, and all the Bowen boys. Listen, I'm just simply saying, it's all right to bow your head in a public place and pray. I can't stop you from it. Be a witness for Him. Stand up for Jesus. Students in school, stand up for Him. Open your mouth, declare that you're a believer in Him. Don't they think you're strange? You come to this church, they already do. You might as well stand up and let them know that, hey, I believe in Him. I'm telling you what, he was grieved. This man, as he's grieved because he's bullied, and how much the world tries to bully us and tell us what we should not do. But thirdly, I must hasten here. Listen, I'm telling you, it was not only grace that brought the Savior and grief that brought the burden, but friend, it was God that brought the miracle. When you look a little bit further in this passage of Scripture, I see a few other things. The Bible says that the miracle came. Listen, it came because the Master heard the cry. In verse number 49, this part is amazing to me. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now, it was a miracle because the Master heard the cry. See, we know what miracles are. It's those supernatural events. It'd been like last night if Ohio State would have beat USC. You're waiting for that. I had a very nice OSU red and gray tie I was going to wear this morning. I changed my mind last night. The Sooners just happened to win their game. Glory. I'm going to be in Tennessee tonight when you preach. But here's what it was. Think about how loud it was around Jesus. Think about how many people wanted something from Him. By the way, He could deliver, amen? I mean, you can come to your pastor, and it's a good thing to call your pastor and say, Pastor, we're going to have surgery next Tuesday. Would you pray? Hey, and it's a good thing, and I know how it is to stand back at the door, and folks coming by, and they'll say, Preacher, pray for such and such and such. And I always say, please write these things down. I cannot remember them all. And friends, your pastor never say anything to me. But it is helpful, and you can do that for him. But as many people would come to the, how many more people came to Jesus? And how loud was it that day? And the clamor of all that was going on. And friend, it's not a miracle that he could hear him. It was a miracle that he would hear him. See, what right did blind Bartimaeus have to stop the God of the universe in his tracks? What right did he have to call upon He who made heaven and earth? Hey, what right did he have to take the one whose hand split the Red Sea one day for Moses and the children of Israel, for him to bend his ear that way? But friend, can I say the one that still watches the sparrow when they fall from the tree is the one that afternoon that when blind Bartimaeus cried out, the miracle is that God listened to it. Hey, friend, I want you to know, as in the Scripture tells us, time and time again, that if you'll call out to me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. You say, Preacher, that's in Jeremiah 33:3. That's the Old Testament. You realize that breathing started in the Old Testament too. And I still believe in breathing. Amen. Eating started in the Old Testament. I still believe in eating. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I'm just saying, let me give you a New Testament. Hey, Paul says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you what, if you call upon Him, He will hear you. But who in the world were we? As old Rusty used to say, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that as a 14-year-old boy, he bent his ear my way at the Stuyvesant Road Free Will Baptist Church when I called upon him about 8:45 that night. Who am I that all of heaven would stop and to listen? Hey, friend, the miracle is, and sometimes folks will come and visit one of our kind of churches and they say, now listen, you're all praying at once. I can't understand what you're praying. I can't understand what you're saying. That's all right. We ain't talking to you. Amen. Hey, we're talking to him and he can understand us all at the same time. It was a miracle that the Master stopped and heard his prayer. Amen. Thank God, not only because the Master heard the cry, but it was a miracle because a man came to Jesus. Now, can I talk about that garment one more time? See, in verse number 50, it says that he not only has the garment, but he does something with that garment. He, what's those next words? Casting away his garment. Can I give you something to think about for just a moment? And I'm about done. How many still with me? Say amen. All right, good. The only thing that he'd known throughout how many years, Brother JB, was that garment. Hold on. Every morning, the only thing he could really depend upon, Brother Barry, was that garment. The only thing that'd been there in the morning when he started his day, in the evening when he finished his day and wrapped himself up in wherever he laid his head was that garment. But there came a day when he found something that was better than the garment. And so he cast it away. Preacher, what in the world are you getting at? I'm glad you asked. It makes preaching a little bit easier. Hey, I'm saying there are some things that you are holding on to if you're unsaved right now. And that's what has brought you strength. That's what brought you security. That's what brought you comfort. That's what you're familiar with. Listen, it's hard for you to think I could lay this aside and turn to Him. Well, let me just let that lay at rest and say this. You can cast away everything you have and cast yourself upon Him, for He cares for you, and He'll be there to catch you. David said, My heart followeth heart after thee, and thy right hand holdeth thee. Hey, aren't you glad there is a hand that'll hold you, that'll be there for you? And listen, cast it away. If you're dependent upon alcohol, cast it away. Turn to the Savior. If you're dependent upon drugs, cast it away. Turn to the Savior. Hey, whatever it is, you can turn to Jesus. He'll be there for you. I watched a woman this past week. I was in the hospital with a family. The husband had got some very bad news, and this woman is in a wheelchair. This woman has a very bad breathing problem. This woman is now upon oxygen. She about died about 3 or 4 weeks ago because she's ruined her lungs from smoking. And she stopped about 4 weeks ago from smoking. She said, I can't do that anymore. Listen, she got the bad news that her husband isn't doing very well. And I walk up to her and I gave her a hug and said, hey, we're praying for you and so on and so forth. And she says to her son-in-law, take me outside. I'm going to go smoke. And I thought, what a testimony. What if she would have said, let's go with the pastor in the other room and let's depend on prayer instead of the old thing that I got comfort out of. Instead of that which I used to depend upon. Hey, friend, I'm telling you what, everything in this world someday is going to burn up. Hey, and Barbaros will too, amen. And make sure he burns them up and not you, amen. Praise the Lord, that's good preaching. But it's amazing. She turned to that in which she used to find comfort from instead of turning to prayer. I'm telling you, there's not a Christian here. You've been saved very long at all. You understand. You got saved. You understand what mountains are. But if you've been saved very long, Brother Sonny, we know what middle between two mountains. Those are valleys. And I'm telling you what I found. That one I met as a 15, 14-year-old boy at an altar of prayer. He's the same one that'll be with you on the mountain, amen. Sliding on the plateau, yes, and heading down in the valley. And I'm telling you what, He's still the lily of the valley. He still is the one that'll watch over His sheep. And it may be that He'll lead you and you'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you keep right on depending upon Him, because He's going to bring you out to the other side, and you're going to understand exactly why you went through the valley, because you had another mountaintop before you. And friend, listen, you keep depending upon Him. The mountain will be sweeter if you trust Him in the valley. And I'm telling you, it was God that brought the miracle, because it was God that heard the cry. Listen, it's because the man came to Jesus. But third and lastly, it's because the Master had the power. It's because the Master had the power. See, when you come to Him, He's just able. How can I say it any better than that? He's just able to do what you ask Him to do. Look at verse 51 and 52, and we'll close. The Bible said, and when Jesus, answering, said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. See, the Master has the power. He's going to take time to hear you. Cast it away. My mind goes back to a man named Don. I knew Don because his wife was a member of my old home church that I grew up with before I ever left to go pastoring. I visited Don several times and on many occasions. And sometimes, you know, the Easters and the Christmases, he came to church. And his wife eventually died, and he got bad off, and they had to put Don in a nursing home. And I went faithfully to visit him in the nursing home and presented Christ to him. And I remember one particular time I asked him, I said, Don, have you been praying? He said, sometimes I do. I said, Don, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And he said these words, I'll never forget them. He said, No, I haven't. But I'm going to. And I said, Oh, Don, I hope you do before it's too late. And obviously I gave him the opportunity. But he said, I'm going to, Brian. I left there. 3 days later, I got a call that I hated to hear. Don left this world. He was going to call to the one that would hear, the one that if he cast aside his sins, the Savior was there for him, the one that would have saved him where he was. But the last thing I remember about him was, I'm not saved yet, but I'm going to be. There's not a person in this room, if you're unsaved, you're not planning on going to hell. You're planning on getting saved sometime or another. Don was planning on getting saved. He told me personally. But he waited. Too late. Will you cry out to Him today? The Savior's here. Grace has brought Him by. Grief ought to make you cry out. God has a miracle for you if you'll come to Him. Let us stand for a time of invitation.